Ever notice your dog slowing down and having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Rough Greens to your dog's food for 90 days and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Rough Greens here, and I invite you to give your pup the Rough Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your dog will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch your dog a free Jumpstart trial bag today. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. That's TRYRUFF. Go to tryroughgreens.com. Use promo code TRYRUFF. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Just add a scoop of Rough Greens.
Will shine, and their hearts will be light as they pledge their lives to the service of their new country. Aye, there's a lesson in the way they will accept their citizenship for all of you. For you have come to take what they call a treasure in a casual way. What does American citizenship mean? That's my story for today, told by Judge Farwell, one of the men who will administer the oath to some new citizens as they accept their treasure. Judge Farwell is a wise man, but even he had to learn the dangers of routine living and casual thinking.
You know, sometimes a man can get into a rut so deep he doesn't think straight. The same routine, day after day, dulls his perspective. But today, somehow it's different. Although this morning I didn't know it was going to be different. The day started much as usual as my secretary greeted me.
Good morning, Judge Farwell.
Well, good morning, Lucy. Oh, it's a wonderful day, isn't it?
Yes, it is, if you're referring to the weather.
Why, Lucy, what's wrong? You don't seem your usual cheery self.
No, it's just that, well, after working for you for 9 years, I hate to think of someone else taking your place.
Well, thanks, Lucy. I appreciate your saying that, but I'm certain my successor will be someone you'll like.
Oh, I'll get used to working for someone else, I guess. In time, anyway. But if you don't mind my saying so, Judge, it seems such a pity for you to retire now, after only 15 years on the federal bench, a man as capable as you are.
Well, thank you, Lucy, thank you. And I guess maybe I'm just stubborn about it. You see, Lucy, for years, ever since I started working, I've always dreamed of the day when I would be in a financial position to devote all my time to that book I've been trying to write. And now, Lucy, I've reached my goal.
I know, Judge. And as long as that's what you have your heart set on...
Besides, if I waited very much longer, I'd be losing you.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, as pretty as you are, I'll be taking on a husband one of these days. And there I'd be, losing the best secretary I ever had.
Well, I'll take a chance on that happening. If you'll stay around and see whether it does or not.
Oh, no, no, you don't. No, ma'am. You can't talk me into changing my mind that way. Well, what's on the docket for today?
Oh, you're going to have an easy schedule, Judge, your last day. First of all, this morning at 10 o'clock, there's the final hearing for another group of immigrants who are to be sworn in as citizens. Well, it's almost 10 now, Judge.
Oh, so it is.
Here, let me help you on with your robe.
Oh, thank you, Lucy.
And now you'd better hurry. You haven't much time.
And so each of you has filed a petition for naturalization. You've learned to read and write the English language as well as to speak it. You have resided in the United States continuously for a period of 5 years and in this state for 6 months. The court is satisfied that these and all other requirements of law for citizenship have been fulfilled by you and that all statements made by you in this final hearing are correct. The court now requests that you all rise and come toward the bench.
All rise and come toward the bench.
Now, will you all face the bench and raise your right hands? You will repeat together the oath of allegiance to the United States of America. I hereby declare that I absolutely and entirely renounce. As I look at these smiling, earnest men and women standing before me,
repeating the oath of allegiance to their new country, I keep wondering what it will mean to each of them to be an American. Now, I've heard many such groups repeat this oath, and I've watched them leave the courtroom, proud and happy in their new status as American citizens. But somehow, today, this ceremony is taking on a new meaning. Perhaps because today is my last day on the bench, everything seems to be in sharper focus, to have a fuller meaning. Now, what does it really mean to be able to say, I am an American? I've often been told of what it means not to be an American, of the fears, the uncertainties, the oppression, the degradation that many of these people left behind them in other lands. But what actually are we offering these new citizens? We who were born in these United States and take for granted the privileges which we have inherited. And what are these privileges that make up the homely everyday life of the average American? Our everyday lives are made up of such little things of such seeming unimportance, like, well, for instance, planning a vacation, now that summer is almost here and we feel the urge to travel. Just last night I smiled to myself as I overheard the Potters having a family conclave about their vacation. The Potters live next door to me, and I could hear their voices quite clearly through the open window where I was sitting.
Oh, Ethel, you know I want to be fair about this thing. I merely suggested that we go to Bass Point again this year for our vacation because last year you said you enjoyed it.
But it was different there last year. The Websters weren't there. They'll be there this year, and I know just how it'll be. You and Bob Webster will be out fishing all the time,
oh,
and I...
Oh, Daddy, we aren't going to that goony Bass Point again this year, are we? I hate that place.
And just what is there about Bass Point that doesn't meet with your approval, Kathy?
No place that'd meet with Kathy's approval unless that dreamy, that swoony Bill Baker went along.
That's not so. The trouble with you, Phil Potter, is you're just mad because your whole baseball team won't be there.
Oh, you're full of beans.
If we can't discuss this matter peaceably and calmly, we won't go away at all.
Sorry, Daddy. It's just that I thought we were going to California, where we could see some real movie stars. Mother said that...
Oh, she did she? Ethel, is this true? Did you promise Kathy a trip to California?
Well, I did say something about it.
Dad, how about Texas? Now, there's a spot.
Texas? Oh, no, Phil. Texas would be much too hot.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. Well, I've heard it isn't any hotter there in summer than Chicago. Besides, if I could just get to Texas, I might have a chance to play on a baseball team there. Make some real dough, too. Jack Stern says...
California, Texas. Good grief. What's the matter with his family? Every year we go through this.
Never mind, dear. We'll probably end up going someplace we hadn't even thought of yet and all have a wonderful time. Look, I brought some travel folders. Now, perhaps for a change, we might try Colorado.
Yes. The Potters seem to be having quite a time deciding on their vacation spot for this year. Well, whatever decision they make, it won't be an important world-smashing one. And yet the very fact that they and other Americans like them can avail themselves of the opportunity to travel from one state to another without restrictions, without boundaries, represents an American freedom. Freedom to travel. It's one of the little things that make up our daily lives. This we can offer our new citizens. And what else? Well, now you take the daily routine of an American housewife doing her marketing.
Now, let me see. Bread, milk, eggs, butter, meat. Seems to me like there was something else.
Coffee, maybe, Mrs. Sanford?
No.
Vegetables? Do you need anything from the vegetable counter today?
Oh, yes, of course. I always forget something when I don't make a list.
How about some nice asparagus? Special on it today, only 19 cents a bunch.
No, John doesn't like asparagus.
Got some fine broccoli. See? 29 cents. Can't go wrong on that.
No, we had broccoli last night.
Green beans?
No, I'm late today. I better get something easy to fix, like canned peas. That's it. Peas. Give me a large can of those peas, Mr. Klein. Yes, those on the lower shelf. I like that brand.
You know, we Americans are mighty lucky to be living in this land of plenty, where we're free to pick and choose the food we wish to eat, with no limitations except our ability to pay, where we can vary our menus, cater to our own culinary whims, where we're not forced to exist on a meager diet of watery potato soup and black bread, meted out in small portions by the state, where we can nourish our children so that they may grow up into strong, healthy men and women. We do have freedom of choice and freedom from want in America, as these little things that make up our days, some so commonplace that we're hardly aware that they represent a privilege which all men can't enjoy in the world today. For instance, I was riding home on the bus the other evening, and two men seated behind me were carrying on a conversation about their war.
So I went in to see the boss, and I says to him, "Mr. Chandler," I says, "I'm quitting." Just like that.
You're kidding.
No. Sure shooting. Those were my very words. I figured no use mincing words with a guy like him. Give it to him straight.
What'd he say?
Well, I must say he took it standing up. "Charlie," he says to me, "you've been working here for several years now. Always did good work. I can't understand why you're quitting. Haven't I always been fair with you?"
Didn't want you to leave, huh?
Not only that, but get a load of this. He offered me a promotion and a raise if I'd stay.
Say, that sure is all right. Shows it pays to speak up to the boss, huh? You always did have plenty of guts that way, Charlie. Why, I remember...
Holy
smoke, here's my stop. Swell meeting you, Charlie. Give me a buzz sometime.
So one man tells another about his promotion and how it came about. That doesn't sound so unusual. Seems to prove only that this particular man must have been a valuable employee, and that he made his boss recognize his worth. But it really proves more than that. A great deal more. As I think about it now, I realize that here we have the right to work where we please, and to quit if we so desire. If a man does his work well, he has the opportunity to advance. Here no one is herded like cattle into the crowded confines of a labor camp. No one is forced to labor until his body breaks under the strain of extreme physical exertion. Yes, this is something else we offer our new citizens. Freedom to work where one pleases. Freedom to quit. Freedom of opportunity. These little things. And sometimes we don't appreciate them as we should. Reminds me of the conversation my wife Helen was telling me she had the other day with our son, Steve. It began right after breakfast when she was trying to hurry him off to school.
Steve, look at the time. You'll be late for school.
Oh, gee, Mom, what are you getting so excited about? I'll get there.
Well, the least you can do is to be on time for the few weeks left before graduation and summer vacation.
All right, I'm going. Believe me, I'll be glad when the term's over. A grind, that's what it's getting to be.
Miss Farwell, I don't rightly understand that boy.
Oh, Martha, I didn't hear you come in.
Well, I just come in to clear off the table. You know I watched him grow up from a little one. Always loved him like my own kin. Till lately. Lately seemed like he's changing.
Oh, I guess it's just growing pains, Martha.
Well, growing pains or no growing pains, he got no call to feel like he do by going to school. My Timmy working his hands off to get an education.
Well, that's right. Timmy graduates next month from high school, too, doesn't he?
He sure enough does. Right proud I am of him, Miss Farwell.
Of course you are, Martha. He's a fine boy. What will he do when he finishes school?
Oh, he ain't finishing. Leastwise, not yet. No, Timmy gonna work all summer, and in the fall he going on to the university.
He is? Why, that's wonderful. You didn't tell me that before, Martha.
No, Timmy wanted it kept secret till he was sure.
Oh, I'm so pleased about it, Martha. You can well be proud of him.
Well, thank you, Miss Fowle. That's why I don't understand Steve. Nice boy like him not liking to get educated.
Oh, don't take him too seriously. You know something, Martha? I think Steve is just putting on an act. He's going to college in the fall, too. Had his application in at the school where his father went.
Sure enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that boy almost had old Martha fooled. I guess he got a right to a few growing pains between schools.
Yes. Yes, that's the way it is here in America. Here, no group or class of people is deliberately kept illiterate or ignorant for fear they may become too learned and thus rise up against the tyranny of those in power. Every boy and every girl, regardless of race, color, or creed, under our school system, has a right to a good education. Well, this, too, we offer our new citizens. The only limitations to what you may learn in America are within the individual himself. Education fosters the undeveloped talents which are America's greatest source of wealth. I keep thinking and thinking of these little things that make up our daily lives, to many of us so trivial, like having your hair cut. Which makes me think of Sam the barber and the conversation he was having one evening last week with a customer. I was waiting my turn and idly listening to them as they talked.
Yes, Mr. Raleigh, sure is nice weather we're having. Turn your head just a little to the right, please.
Okay.
Oh, fine, fine.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to trymeowgreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.
What do you think of the Korean situation, Sam?
If you want my opinion, I think we should go right on into Manchuria and bomb the heck out of them Chinese red bases.
Well, I don't know, Sam. You know, my boy Bill's over in Korea now. Believe me, I'd like to have him home again.
Oh, sure, I know how you feel, Mr. Raleigh, but I was reading just the other day. You turn your head just a little this way. That's good. I was reading how the British are the ones who want to keep friendly with the Chinese commies.
Oh, I hardly believe that.
Yes, sir, that's what I read. And do you know why the British want this? Just so they can sell material to the Chinese, so the Chinese can shoot at our boys. Fine, how do you do?
You can't believe all the stuff you read, you know.
Maybe not, but I still say let's keep on fighting till we show these Reds that we mean business.
I can't agree with that policy. Now, just suppose we do bomb the Chinese Red Base.
And you know, as I listened to Sam and his customer trading opinions, it gave me a sort of a good feeling. Maybe I didn't agree with one of them. Maybe I didn't like the logic of either of them. What I did like was the fact that two average Americans could voice their opinions this way. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be able to speak up as you wish, without fear that if you say the wrong thing, you'll be thrown in jail, put in a concentration camp, tortured or murdered. It's a wonderful thing to be able to seek information, to listen, to hear all sides, and then be able to make up your own mind. This is another right we have to offer our new citizens. Freedom of speech. Freedom of thought. Oh, we've other things to offer, too, here in America. Many things. Things so much a part of us that we don't give them a second thought until we think we're going to lose them. Like an arm or a leg. Of course, that makes me think of Ed Baker. Ed lives across the street from us. Everybody in the neighborhood knows him. He lost a leg at Okinawa, but he always has a ready smile and a pleasant remark for everyone. I remember meeting him on the street one morning, the latter part of March.
Morning, Judge.
Why, hello, Ed. Where are you going so early?
I'll give you one guess.
From the direction you're headed, I'd say you were on your way to vote.
Right, sure. Got to do my bit to see that Mayor Tidings gets in office again.
Say, I hope he does. Tidings is a good man.
You know, it's a funny thing the way some people act about going to the polls.
Yeah?
Half of them aren't even interested in the election, one way or the other. Yet these same people are the first to complain if the local administration isn't doing things to suit them.
I know, Ann. I guess it's just that each person underestimates the importance of his own vote. It's up to fellows like you to make them realize that getting out and voting is not only a privilege, but a duty.
Oh, I guess I was kind of like that myself before the war. It's hard to remember. Mm-hmm. All I know is when you're away from home fighting for all the things you believe America stands for, you sort of want to take advantage of all these rights once you get back to the old USA. Hey, listen to me, will you? I ought to hire a hall and charge admission.
Well, lots of fellows have felt as you do after they got back. I guess sometimes it takes a war to make us appreciate what we have. Even after the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln said, "Ballots are the rightful and peaceful successors of bullets."
No kidding. Did Lincoln say that? That's a pretty good saying. Well, I guess I'd better get moving if I want to get to the polls.
As I watched Ed turn and start away with the awkward rolling motion of a man not too certain of his balance, a lump came into my throat. And I thought, here's a man who gave one of his legs in the fight to keep intact the freedoms which we hold so lightly. And not the least of these freedoms is that right to vote for the persons of your choice. On this, too, we can give our new citizens. In America, no one can force you to vote for candidates whose policies you don't like. You're not handed a ballot bearing names controlled by only one party. No man wields more power than you in the voting booth. But this isn't all. No, we've got a lot more to offer. I'm thinking now of Sunday morning, any Sunday morning, when all our chores, our business dealings, our activities for the week are finished and the sound of church bells softly fills the air.
Kathy, you're not still talking on the phone, are you?
Just a minute, Jane. Mother's talking to me. But, Mother, Jane's telling me the most super things about the dance last night. You can't imagine.
Well, tell Jane you'll hear about it after you get back from church. Why, it's almost 10:30.
All right. Jane, I'll call you later. Yeah, church. What? Oh, gosh, no, I don't see how you managed to get the 9 o'clock mass.
Kathy.
Bye for now, Jane.
Yes, oh, I've looked all through the top drawer, and I'm blessed if I can find a single clean handkerchief.
But, dear, they're right there on the left-hand side. I'll show you. Kathy, now you hurry. We'll never get to church at this rate.
Congregation will please join in the responsive reading on page 397. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He maketh me lie down in green pastures.
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restores my soul.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness.
Freedom of religion. Another right we have to give. In America, every man is free to worship according to his own conscience. His religious creed is not dictated by the state. He doesn't have to follow his religious beliefs in secret, lest he be persecuted for having them. Yes, religion is the cornerstone of our republic. The little things that make up our daily routine, they seem so inconsequential, yet they mean so much. Well, for instance, when the day is done and you're feeling pleasantly relaxed after a satisfying dinner, and you decide to spend a quiet evening at home.
I wonder what radio programs are on tonight.
I don't know, dear. Why don't you look in the paper?
Yeah, good idea.
Oh, I'm so glad we have nothing special planned for tonight. Seems good just to spend a quiet evening at home like this. Oh, now who could that be?
Oh, gosh, I hope it's just someone ringing the wrong bell.
Better find out.
All right, but if it's company or something...
Hi, Charlie.
Surprise.
Oh, well, Jack, you old son of a gun. Well, and Ruth, come in, come in. Ethel, come see who's here. Jack and Ruth. This is really...
That doesn't sound as though it signifies much, does it? Just a quiet evening at home, interrupted by the ringing of the doorbell. Well, that's the way it is here in America. Bell rings, or possibly there's a knock at the door. These sounds are merely commonplace. We have no fear of them. They may mean callers, the postman, a salesman trying to interest us in his wares. Yet, in some countries today, there are many who wait with a fearful dread for the ring of a bell or a knock on the door. Always waiting, always fearing, always wondering, when will the secret police come? Well, in America, we have no such terrors. Yes, this also we offer, freedom from fear. Yes, there's so many, many little things that make up our daily lives. So many small, taken-for-granted activities which, assembled all together, add up to something so big. The greatness that is America. The liberty that lies in the hearts of men and women. The component parts of an American. Well, these are the thoughts that have been running through my mind as I hear this group of men and women before me now repeating the oath of allegiance to the United States.
And allegiance to the United States of America
and that I take this obligation freely, so help me God.
You seem to be in a hurry, Judge Farwell. How did everything go in court?
Lucy, I've come to an important decision.
Well, you sound excited. It must be something special.
I'm not going to retire at this time after all, Lucy.
Why, that's wonderful. But what made you change your mind?
Well, today, out there in that courtroom, I recaptured something I'd lost along the way. My ability to understand.
I don't think I quite follow you, Judge.
Today, Lucy, when I listen to those eager, solemn men and women give their pledge of citizenship, the words that I've heard so many times seem to come alive, for I began to really understand what the words meant to these people. I can't quit now, Lucy. I want to be here when more of these freedom-seeking people have completed their 5 years of residence in the United States. I want to be here when they take their oath of allegiance. I want to see their faces as they receive the gifts of freedom for which they've struggled to achieve. I want to stand before these new Americans, hear their voices ring out as they smile through tear-stained faces, overcome with the honest emotion of becoming free men. And I want to know that their presence will constantly remind me of what it means to say, I am an American.
Hi, friends. To new Americans, citizenship of this nation is a treasure of great worth. Yet even Judge Farwell had to be reminded of that worth. Reminded by the shining eyes and vibrant voices of new citizens taking their oath of allegiance to the United States. Too many people need that reminder. Tomorrow, May 20th, I Am an American Day is more than just a festive occasion to welcome new citizens. It is also a time for you, for all citizens, to remember that in my time, before my time, and to this very day, men have fought and died to gain for you a heritage of freedom. A heritage of freedom which you take much too casually. Aye, and that's why I'm here. Why I, Paul Revere, have come back to remind you that your way of life is something men have died to secure and preserve. Tomorrow, I Am an American Day, new citizens and old will take time to remember that American citizenship brings a heritage of freedom to the individual, which the individual must honor and protect. Aye, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance, and this you must remember. If you are to keep the American way of life, if you are to stay on the road toward destination freedom.
Paul Revere, portrayed by Maurice Copeland, will return next Saturday to narrate another chapter in the story we call Destination Freedom, presented by Station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Today's script was written by Madeline Peters and produced under the direction of John Cowan. Arthur Peterson played Judge Farwell. Other members of the cast were Lorette Philbrant, Geraldine Kay, Jack Lester, Alma Platts, and Russ Reed. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and played by Helen Morton and Jose Bethencourt. Our engineer was Bob Daly, sound effects by Bill Rose. This is Charles Chan inviting you, reminding you that the sound of the Freedom Bell is your invitation to follow Paul Revere along the road to Destination Freedom. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.